Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Yep.
We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND for 30 days after recording, and also on my YouTube channel anytime, which is called Radio Naturopath. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So, I haven't made a show with Ron in a few weeks, so Ron is here, so yeah. We can chat. So, First of all, Ron, I'll ask you, did your son getting married make you kvel?
Well, absolutely. Why would it not?
Well, I'm just asking you the question so you can talk about it.
No,
so
it
tell
was
me
great.
About
it
how
was
it
great.
Made you kvel.
Well,
do you know what kvel means?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do. You've been through that with
Let me
yeah.
tell them.
You better tell them.
Okay, kvel is a Yiddish word. It's a beautiful word. It means to be proud of, but it's so much more because Yiddish words don't have a direct translation. You know, my sister is doing Duolingo for Yiddish. She's learning Yiddish. It's really cool. Maybe one day I'll sit and do that as well.
Yeah, that's a side subject. Go.
So kvel is a word that means to be proud of, but it's so much more. It means to be deeply proud of and filled with love and brimming with excitement so that you could burst. So it's not just to be proud of. It's pride mixed with love and joy and it's the culmination of wonderful things that have happened. And, you know, generally kvel over someone you love, that when they accomplish something you love or they do something you love or they just are someone you love. So Ron had the experience of kveling over his son getting married. So tell me what that was like. What was it like to watch your son get married?
And I even at the rehearsal dinner told him how proud I was of him.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, that probably meant a lot to him.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course it would.
You know,
why wouldn't it?
You never know.
And you don't know. Like, even if it didn't matter to him, depending on where he is in his journey of self-discovery, if it didn't matter to him at the rehearsal dinner, when he's at therapy in 5 years, it will. He'll be like, oh, my dad said this wonderful thing. And
So go ahead. So anyway, you know, as I expected, and this is always, you know, Greg has always been, he has always been someone who is not cut from the same mold as everyone around him.
Yeah, so unusual.
Yeah.
Because I am cut from the same mold.
Oh, you're not even close. So anyway, and I don't consider myself to be either, so I look at that as success.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I also looked at it all through his life as challenging.
Yeah.
Because when it was Dressed Like a Pirate Day, guess who went to school dressed like a pirate?
Fine.
And guess who just let him go?
Of course,
that's
super
right.
cool.
Because I figured he would have to deal with the consequence of someone really kidding him and giving him a hard time or whatever, but it didn't seem to change his way. He went on to college and he ended up majoring in history and minoring in drama because he still really likes drama and he likes the arts and he's still connected to that to a degree. And he, so I knew, and the woman he married, Amanda, went to the same school as he went to, the University of Hartford. She went there for voice.
Yeah.
So she went to the Hart School.
Yes.
And so, which is a performing arts division of the University of Hartford. And so she went there and they met.
I bet she had Cherie as a professor.
I asked her that and I don't think she did. I think she had someone different.
Okay.
But anyway, I did ask her about that though.
Yeah.
But she went there for that, and they met through the fact that Greg became the president of the drama club, and so they were putting on productions.
That's great. So he wasn't just in the drama club, he was the prez.
He was the prez.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he, you know, Greg has become an organizer of things.
He has a
Halloween party, which is epic in nature, from what all of his friends told
me. He organized stuff in high school. He was Joe D&D.
Yes, he was also big on the D&D thing.
And he organized
it. We used to have D&D downstairs on Saturday nights.
Right.
And on a pretty regular basis.
Right.
So he would do that. And, you know, that's kind of where he's at. And now, you know, he's working for a very large
banking corporation. Yes,
right?
A financial corporation.
So that's what he's doing now. So that's where his money comes in. But, you know, I think he has sights set on other things in the future.
Well, he has a vocation, and then he has really interesting avocations.
Right. So anyway, he and Amanda kind of clicked together because they're very, unlike you and me, they're very geeky. And
right.
And so that geekiness became an attraction, which became them growing together.
Yeah.
So they moved to Chicago 12 years ago and finally got married
and they weren't partners. They weren't romantically involved when they moved to Chicago.
They did not go to Chicago as partners.
Right.
They went as friends and then eventually became partners.
This is really cool because he married his best friend.
Well, he pretty much did.
Yeah.
Pretty much did.
Which is what you want to do.
As expected, this was not a wedding of normal expectation.
Or usual.
Yeah. Or usual expectation. This was a performance. And
it
definitely was that. It was really interesting. It was in this old factory building, which was a furniture factory, where it was currently being used to store artifacts that were taken out of Chicago buildings were being torn down.
I talked about it a little bit on my last show, but I didn't know these details.
It was wild. I mean, the place, it's called, what was it called? It's
Salvage called One.
Salvage One, and certainly worth a Google, because if you want to check it out, because it's got really, really cool stuff. And, you know, they obviously try to resell that. That's part of their business there. But they really have set it up as a giant party venue and wedding venue.
Right.
And that includes reclaimed church seats, church pews that
they
pulled out of churches that were being torn down.
Yeah.
And also big old bars that were pulled out of buildings that were, you know, being, again, taken down.
And there were items and furniture that I could not figure out what they were for.
There were a number of items of furniture in there.
There's a table with a big oval-shaped hole in it, and I was like, what is this?
Oh, I'm sure it was from something. Who knows? But there was also things like an old shoeshine thing.
Station.
Mm-hmm. And lots of interesting cut glass and cool things.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was just really a fun place because you could spend hours just wandering around.
Yeah.
There was a room filled with doors, just doors.
I think the food was sensational.
And then Greg, when he catered the event, he decided to bring Chicago street food in.
Fantastic.
Which
so
was
good.
A brilliant idea.
They had the street food, but also the charcuterie board was amazing. I had one piece of cheese, which was delicious, and I was afraid to eat more cheese because I have an interesting relationship with cheese.
Yeah.
But it was so good. And they had gabagool.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
So good. It was just the right bit of smoke and just the right bit of texture.
Greg has found some amazing places
amazing
by living
places.
In the big city. But, you know, when you're in the big city, that you find these places.
And they had their signature drinks. They each one had a signature
and
cocktail.
And each of them had a signature cocktail because they're into that.
And hers was the bourbon. It was a bourbon and lemon and something. And his was, I don't even remember, but it had sweet vermouth and an interesting Italian liqueur. And that was the one that I chose because the bourbon is wasted on me. Once I taste the bourbon,
and you said it was really good, right?
It was good. Liked it. It was very interesting and very good.
So anyway, this is the theme of it. They had a pre happy hour before the celebration, in which, you know, people came in and milled around for about an hour, and you know, chatted with one another, etc. And then they
and cocktails and hors d'oeuvres.
Right. And cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, mm-hmm. and then they all came in, the wedding party being they, all came in with masks on.
Not health masks. Masks over their eyes that were...
theatrical masks.
Yeah, theatrical Harlequin masks that covered their eyes.
Right. So that was cool and interesting. And then
during the cocktail hour, Greg and Amanda wore those same masks.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Yeah, and then when it came time for the ceremony, when they walked down the aisle, so to speak, we all did. You know, I did as Greg's dad, and Greg's mom walked down as Greg's mom. And of course, Amanda's parents were there, too. They also have a creative, artsy side
and
to
them,
too. And
he has one grandma who's still with us, and she walked down, too.
Yep,
and that was great.
And Carol's 90.
She's 90 years old.
She came out from Salem, Oregon, to go to the wedding. That was very cool.
Good old Carol.
And anyway, so it was just a really cool and moving celebration.
And when they walked down the aisle, they had full face theatrical masks.
Full face masks with handles on the bottom that they
and they
held.
Kept them on
until the actual ceremony started.
Yeah.
And the person who married them, the justice of the peace that married them, is a lifelong friend of Amanda's that grew up with her in New Jersey.
And she married him.
Last year, she married him with his husband.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of cool.
It was
just totally different than anything I've attended before.
And they have lovely friends.
And they have really great friends.
Yes.
And their friends absolutely adore them and had nothing but good things to say about them. So they're in a good place, and I feel really good about
them. Yeah.
And then they did their vows, and I got a little weepy.
Of course.
It was, you know, it was very touching.
And very poetic.
Very poetic.
They were both very poetic.
Yeah. And it was cool. It was totally cool.
It was very cool.
So
the only thing
is,
Amanda didn't sing. I thought maybe she would sing, but
I was
didn't
hoping
sing,
she would sing, but you know what? We'll get that at a different time.
We'll get that another time.
We will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get married and she'll sing then.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have her do that.
Okay.
That would be cool.
One of these days.
That's funny that
your son got married before we did.
And what I was really amazed at was before, during the party.
We have ants.
We have ants. Before, during the happy hour, there was a DJ, and she was playing music, and she was playing all these like great old blues tunes.
Yeah.
And I went over to her and I said, "Wow, great music choice." She said, "It's not my choice." She said, "This is your son and his soon to be wife." She said they have just amazing taste in music.
They have good taste in music.
So, you know, it was fun. It was very interesting and a great way to see Greg and Amanda.
It was a great way to see Greg.
So,
I really enjoyed
Congrats to them and love, life,
peace, prosperity, happiness. And may they, may they have many wonderful future adventures and lots of love and great life together.
Right.
So I enjoyed seeing Kathy, his mother's family. They were a hoot. I don't get to see them a lot, but I got to see Mary and we call her Laura and Mary and Laura's children. And we all, without getting into it too much, we walked downtown to Daly Plaza for the hands-off demonstration.
Right, we sure did.
Yes, and so that was fun. And they took a very interesting photo in front of a specific building where they made
a
sign.
Yes, they
did. And that's all I'll say about that. But it was really delightful.
I can do this, but you can't because you're on the video.
So it was really delightful to see their family and connect with them. And I hadn't seen Mary. I consider a friend. And when I go to Portland, she's one of the people I see.
Yeah.
And she actually, it was really... wacky to have you go to Kite's house, who was my friend from and boyfriend from way back, and have Mary Mannon come over and to a party there. It was like,
that's a meeting of different parts
of my life.
Yeah.
Well, Mary's a hoot. She's just very, very personable and friendly and
very open,
lovely. And so was Laura.
Yep.
So that was nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
So, all right. So that was the wedding. So tell me about. So I talked a little bit about your health, but I'd like you to give us the latest.
Oh, the latest on my health. Well, when I got back, the day after I got back from our trip, I had an appointment with a neurologist.
Yes.
And they, you know, put all sorts of electrical stuff on you, and they zap you, and it took quite some time. It was almost an hour I was there.
Yeah.
And then they
scheduled you for an MRI.
And they poked me they put a needle into your muscles, and, you know, they're checking all sorts of stuff, and there was a lot of big uh-ohs going on while I was there. And they immediately scheduled me for an MRI.
Of your neck and your lumbar spine.
Of my neck and lumbar, because those were the key critical areas that were being shown as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the MRI shortly after that, and my health situation is that my lower back is not as bad as my neck, but my neck is really bad.
Yeah.
And I have a spinal stenosis in my neck, which is extreme according to the paperwork.
Right.
And so I'm going to see a spinal surgeon, for a consultation on Friday.
Okay.
And
we'll let you next time we.
It sounds scary and horrible and all, and I am just overjoyed with the fact that we figured it out.
Yeah.
Because
I feel really bad that I feel like I should have figured this out a year ago.
Yeah, but you're not that of that field. Don't take it on yourself, please.
We did talk about whether it could be spinal stenosis, but you hadn't had the MRI to confirm it, and that's
the
what
MRI
really
that was the home run right there
because
that
right.
really said a lot and showed a lot. So,
but it may mean that your problems with that we don't know if the problem was you may be okay taking Repatha. That may not be a problem.
I might, and I.
You don't
also
have to do that if you don't want
to. Well, and I have a story to tell there too. My numbers, as far as my cholesterol, have been going in the right directions.
Yeah.
My HDL is going up. My LDL is going down.
Yeah, that's great.
Not by the numbers that my cardiologist would like to see, but the fact is, in that last year's period of time, I was not able to exercise hard.
Right.
So my argument is, at this point in time, and I do need to call him and talk to him about it, because he's very interested to hear what's going on with me.
Yeah.
I'll talk to him after I talk to the surgeon.
Spinal surgeon, yes.
But because I also want to see if he has a recommendation also, or someone he might be pointing me towards on their end of things.
Right.
So I'll fill him in there. But my argument is, if I could just keep trying, once I get myself back to really good physical condition and can start pushing myself harder, let's see if I can lower it even more and raise it even more and, you know, do the work the way I would like to do it versus by doing it pharmaceutically.
Yeah.
So
we got a lot of good things to say about avocados and flax seeds.
Wow, do I eat a lot of avocados?
And oats.
I eat a lot of avocados.
Avocados are delicious.
I eat at least two avocados a day.
Oy vey.
I have 2 tablespoons of flaxseed meal a day.
That's a lot.
And I also am taking fish oil.
Yeah.
Every day.
Right.
And that's like one of those tablespoons is 1,000 milligrams. Is that what it
something.
Is?
I'm not sure. I have to look at the bottle.
It's 1,000 and something. It's,
that's
it's
good.
Just
of
a little
omega-3s.
Over 1,000.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I'm really focusing on omega-3s. And you're
taking a flavored emulsion.
You betcha I am.
Because
fish oil tastes like burps.
See, I can take the regular fish
oil
with lemon flavor and it doesn't. But I know
it makes me burp.
It all repeats on you.
Yeah.
But this one, we were successful.
Yeah. So there are solutions.
We gave you pills we gave you, enterically coated pills that open up in your intestines and you still burp those.
Oh God, they were awful.
But the but the emulsion. So the only thing with an emulsion is they have to put stuff in it to emulsify it. So they put thickeners in it, and then they flavor it so it doesn't taste like fish oil. And this one happens to be lemon flavored, so it tastes like lemon custard. So he really likes it. I've had it in the past too, and I really like it. But
I'm
okay with taking straight up liquid fish oil that's lemon flavored. I don't have a problem with it. Doesn't make me burp. And I also take it at night, so I'm more likely to have a before dinner snack and then have dinner not too long after that, so it doesn't tend to bother my stomach. I wouldn't take it in the morning, but I'm able to take it. So when you take liquid, it's easier to take more because you put it in a spoon, down it goes, and you don't have to worry about
super
it.
Super easy, yeah.
Super easy.
As why I take I make these huge shakes in the morning that are protein shakes,
right?
And they also have
the banana and the avocado and the raw organic cacao and flax seeds.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you have oatmeal, you put more flax seeds in it.
My current feeling about my health right now is very optimistic.
That's good. So. Yeah. And hopefully, so we don't know. Like my concern is that because of the, you have stenosis, you have discs that are bulging and deteriorated, and you know, the way your cervical spine is sitting on itself, it totally makes sense that you would have you have collapsed you know, vertebrae on the neural foramina, which is giving you the stenosis. When you have stenosis, that means that there is there's not enough space for your spinal cord. Your spinal cord is butting up against other structures, so it affects its ability to transmit electricity. So we spoke to one person who said that what they do is they carve a little hole out, and it makes more room for the spinal cord to sit.
Exactly.
But in your case, they may not just do that because your vertebrae are so collapsed. They may want to reorder your vertebrae. And when Nancy had her surgery, they added in cadaver bone to set it up. So because the vertebrae, it's not just that you have the stenosis. It's the reason you have the stenosis is because you have collapsed discs.
Right.
The discs are degenerated and are just not there where they're supposed to be. And the discs are, your vertebrae are not sitting properly on top of each other, 1 through 7.
Right.
So they may have to restructure that. You may have some fusions. You may have some added cadaver bone, and you may also have... they may also just make more room in the spinal canal. It depends on what they do. So we don't know the extent of the surgery that they're going to give you.
And
you will find that out on Friday.
That's what we're going to talk about. And of course, you know, you talk about it and then they go in for the surgery and they may make a different decision once they get in there.
Right. Because of what you don't know what they're going
to
see.
They see things that are not visible to them.
Oh, I just love it when you have surgery. Just the happiest day of my life.
I know. I'm thinking of sending you to your mother's.
No. No, what you tell me the minute you get the date, you tell me so I can take the day off and take you there and sit in plots in the waiting room with your sister.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
That's the, and I don't know where you're going to go. If you can go to Hartford.
Well, we don't know anything yet. So
depends on where they,
but
what
spinal surgeon is. To be continued. To be continued.
Your guy probably sent you to, it was in the Hartford healthcare system.
I am within the Hartford healthcare system.
So you're probably going to go to Hartford.
This time.
That's probably where you're going to go.
Probably. Unless, for some reason, I am recommended by someone at UConn Health, in which case I would go there. So we don't know yet.
And the Dempsey Hotel's a nice place.
Oh, it's better than most hospitals.
So you should discuss that when you go to... Well, the spinal surgeon is... You're going to see a spinal surgeon on Friday.
And
who you're seeing is probably a Hartford Healthcare person.
Yes, he is.
Because...
Yeah, he totally is.
So unless...
And...
Why would he recommend you somewhere else then?
He wouldn't, but I'm going to call my cardiologist, and I'm going to ask him,
do you have a guy? Okay.
You know, and you know, I'm because I'm allowed to shop around.
Of course you are.
And
you
I'm allowed to ask questions, and I want to get the best I can because I plan on, you know, hanging around for a while.
Well, one of the things you should do is look up the reviews of the guy you're going to see.
Right.
Yeah. And see what that's like and see if you can find anybody who saw that person and are they happy.
Right.
I have to tell you, I've heard a couple of stories. I had a patient who had some kind of spinal stenosis in her cervical spine. She had all kinds of weirdo symptoms. She had the surgery, and she's happy as a clam now.
And I just heard the exact same story this morning from one of the people who takes my spin class. And she said that, you know, it was like night and day difference. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, all mobility was back, pain was gone. And I don't really have a lot of pain. I have various areas.
No, but you have neurological, weakness and neurological weirdness.
So much fatigue in my body.
Yeah.
And it's like I feel really, it's like from the neck down, my body feels very, very old.
Because you're dragging it around and you're not getting adequate nerve conduction to your spinal cord. So
anyway, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
To make a short story really long.
Yeah. And so we'll update you more after Ron goes and sees the neurosurgeon. And we'll talk to you about that. Okay. So I wanted to talk about some fun stuff. First of all, we're going to talk about chia pudding. And then we're going to talk about coffee creamers. And then an energy-reduced Mediterranean diet and bone density. So first of all, the chia pudding. I want to talk about it because I made the show near Passover. And Passover, one of the things you do in Passover to celebrate the fact that the Hebrews escaped from Egypt, when they escaped from Egypt, they were told to get out right now, and they were baking bread, and they didn't have time to let the bread rise, so they wound up leaving with unleavened bread. So the tradition is you don't eat any leavening during Passover. So leavening means... Ron is over there opening a package of bike tires. He's very happy. Yeah, it's a new toy. So you don't eat anything leavened. And so that means if you eat bread, it's only matzah. And traditionally, gluten-free matzah doesn't fulfill what you're supposed to do on Passover. But I'm not going to eat matzah with gluten because you eat a lot of matzah. You know, you have matzah with almost every meal.
Matzah,
man. I know. You can get a little doll that sings that. My friend Steve Molinari from high school married he's an Italian guy who married a lovely Jewish woman. So he's celebrating Passover. So this Italian guy who married a lovely Jewish woman, he posted a photo of himself with a little doll that's a guy in a chef hat and an apron and says Matzah Man, and he was singing Matzah Man. It's very funny. So anyway, so you only eat unleavened stuff, and I do eat gluten-free matzah on Passover, and I do avoid bread, and I also follow the Ashkenazic Eastern European Jewish tradition of avoiding kidney yot. So kidney yot is pretty much anything that could maybe be made into flour and get leavened. So when you don't eat leavening, that means you don't eat yogurt. You can drink Passover wine. I'm not sure how they get around the fermentation thing because it is alcohol, but you can drink Passover wine. It has to be kosher for Passover wine. And then you can't drink wine, just any old wine. It has to be kosher for Passover. And then you don't have fermented things. So you don't have kombucha. You don't have yogurt. I do take my probiotic because probiotic is medicine, but I don't eat cheese. If I can get kosher for Passover cheese, I'll eat it, but I haven't looked for it or found it. Everybody's different as to what they do, and I will eat things that could be kosher. They're not necessarily certified kosher for Passover, but they don't have any ingredients that are not kosher for Passover. But even though they're not certified. So there's one brand of fake cheese, of alternative cheese slices that has no kidney yot in it. So kidney yot is any cereal grasses. So you can eat wheat as long as it's been made into matzah flour. And then once it's matzah or matzah flour, you can use it any way you can. And then, of course, you can't leave it in the oven for more than 18 minutes. So whatever you, like if you make cake out of it, it has to bake for less than 18 minutes. I believe that's the case. And it has to be with matzah meal or matzah flour. And then you can't have any cereal grasses. So you can't have corn, you can't have rice, if you're Sephardic, they do eat rice and they do eat some beans because that's a big part of their diet. It was not a big part of the diet in Eastern Europe, and I'm Eastern European. So I don't eat sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, or oils made from them. I don't eat peanuts. I don't eat any legumes at all. And it's, you know, I like to eat chickpeas, but I'm not going to eat them on Passover. And you can eat nuts. You can eat tree nuts. Those are not considered kidney yolk. And then there are some seeds that are not considered kidney yolk, depending on who you ask. I'm not sure what Chabad would say, but one year I went to the Crown Market in West Hartford, which has a plethora of, you know, kosher stuff, but also a great kosher Passover selection. And they had quinoa, and the quinoa said on it kosher for Passover. So I said, okay. So I looked into it, and quinoa is not considered kidney yolk, depending on who you ask. So I said, that's good enough for me. Quinoa is not kidney yolk. I'm eating quinoa on Passover. So I've made myself overnight quinoa, although I found last year that you can't just soak quinoa. You have to cook it and then soak it. Because I didn't cook it, and it was still crunchy and hard after I soaked it. So I've made lots of quinoa, and I'm going to have breakfast quinoa. I'm going to have quinoa with our stir fry, and I will probably have to make more quinoa having to steam more quinoa during Passover. So you can eat quinoa. The other thing you can eat on Passover that's not considered kidney yolk, depending on who you ask, is chia seeds. So I made chia pudding. So I wanted to share this recipe with you. I may have shared it before, but this recipe is so easy. It's the prep time says 3 hours and 10 minutes. The reason it says 3 hours and 10 minutes is because the 3 hours are putting it in the fridge. The 10 minutes is putting the ingredients together. It really takes no time to do this. It's such an easy recipe. Anyone can do it. And if you don't like chocolate, you can make it other flavors. But here's what you do. You put in a quarter cup cacao powder, unsweetened cocoa powder. I recommend getting, say it with me, non-alkalized, non-dutched, raw organic cocoa powder. And it's delicious. It's that wonderful stuff. That way. Yeah. I gave Ron a spoonful of the chia pudding this morning. He said it was great. The sweetener is just maple syrup. Now you can use whatever sweetener you want. I like using a liquid sweetener is a good idea. So you could, I don't know how it would come out with honey, but the maple, it tastes very good with maple syrup. I'm very happy with it. Agave would work too. But the maple syrup gives it that robust maple flavor, and you get the nutrition that's in the maple. There's a half teaspoon ground cinnamon. There's a pinch of sea salt, a half teaspoon vanilla, and then 1.5 cups. You choose your milk. If you are not dairy intolerant, you can use milk. And if you're making it on Passover, you want to use a non-dairy milk, preferably that doesn't have any bean gums in it. But what I did is I just got, I'm not drinking hemp milk. Like I had an open hemp milk, and I'm having Ron, that's kidney yolk. So Ron is drinking the rest of the hemp milk on Passover. And, I have almond and coconut milk, and almonds and coconut are considered, they can be kosher for Passover. So I used coconut milk, in the chia pudding, and then 1/2 cup of chia seeds. So you get your chia seeds, you can get them in bulk at the Willy Co-op. Very easy. And you stir everything together. You stir everything, the cacao, the maple syrup, the cinnamon, the salt, and the vanilla. You stir that all together. And then you gradually add the non-dairy milk. And then once you do that, you add the chia seeds to a bowl that will hold it all. And then you stick it in the fridge. And they say put it in the fridge for at least 3 hours. I tasted it last night, which was a little less than 3 hours. Which was maybe a little more than 3 hours after I had made it, and I decided it wasn't ready.
It wasn't ready.
Yet. Wasn't ready.
It takes time.
Takes time. So I left it in overnight.
The fridge overnight.
Yeah. So overnight is good, and I tasted it today, and it was nice and pudding-y. It was lovely, and even Ron liked it, so that was good. You have to be careful because there are a lot of chia seeds in it, and if you eat lots of fiber through the day, you could get yourself into a fiber situation, and that is a thing. I have noticed that if I there's such a thing as me eating too much fiber. Like if I eat too many chia seeds, I get a little bloated, and that can happen. So if you're going to eat a lot of fiber, you have to make sure you drink a lot of water. So Ron eats a ridiculous amount of fiber because he's eating his oats and his flax seeds and his avocado, which has fiber in it. And then we have, our dinner usually has a good amount of vegetables. So last night we had a beautiful frittat, and it had all kinds of veggies in it. And we may have fruit during the day. You know, when I have my overnight quinoa, there will be fruit on top of it. And, you know, when I have overnight oats, which I won't have till after the holiday because that's a kidney oat, I have a lot of fruit in it. So if you do eat a lot of fiber, it is really important to make sure that you drink a lot of water also, because that will help to smooth things out and make it go through you faster. And then you get all the benefits of the fiber. High fiber diets can help to protect you from colon cancer. So high fiber is really good for protecting you against colon cancer, because fiber, one of its jobs is, chia seeds and other types of fiber will draw water to them. Chia seeds and flax seeds in particular, they draw water to them and they make your stool easier to pass. Fiber in general also, it acts as a brush, and it helps. And one of the things that happens is you have cells in your body that are always turning over. And sometimes you make a cell that's not so good. It's not supposed to work so well. So your body can cast those off. You have more cellular turnover if you, because you have epithelial cells. It's like the same kind of lining that's on the, and covering that's on your skin outside your body. So in your colon, you have those kinds of cells. So when you eat fiber regularly, you're getting a lot of turnover of the cells. So you're less likely to hold on to a cell that can do something bad, like make a colon cancer. So eating higher fiber is protective against colon cancer. It's protective against other kinds of cancer too, because your turnover of toxins is going to be higher and faster. And like I said, fiber, you need to eat water, drink water when you eat lots of fiber. And when you consume lots of fiber, particularly soluble fiber, which is what beta-glucan is. Beta-glucan is in your oats. Beta-glucan is in your mushrooms. Mushrooms should be cooked. Beta-glucan also helps to sweep out cholesterol. And fiber in general tends to sweep out cholesterol. And that is why Ron is trying to manage his cholesterol by eating a high fiber diet, which is great. That's a great way to do it, because that's not the only benefit he gets. He gets the benefit of, protection against colon cancer. And things with high fiber in it tend to have antioxidants in it and have other nutrients in it that keep you healthy in other ways. So there you go. I hope you enjoy chia pudding. You would like it's really easy to make. This one had cacao powder in it. You don't have to put cacao powder if you're not into the cocoa flavor. You can put fruit in it instead, whatever fruit you like, raspberries or peaches or pineapples or a combination of things. What you could make a tropical chia pudding that where you throw in pineapple chunks and bits of mango and shredded coconut. That would be really yummy. In fact, we could just make chocolate coconut chia pudding. I should have done that. That would have been a good. I had some shredded coconut. I could have done that. The other thing I could have done and put in the chia pudding is cacao nibs, and it would have given it a little crunch, and that would have been really exciting. So maybe I'll do that next time. Next chia pudding is going to be chocolate coconut cacao nib. Okay.
Okay.
The other thing I could do is get some coffee beans, and I think the coffee beans I would use are the chocolate covered espresso beans, and I'd crush those up and put it in. Wouldn't that be good? Then you'd have mocha chia pudding. You could also get some organic coffee powder and just stir that in. So I would get organic and I'd get a good flavor. So speaking of coffee, I looked in the news, and I'm trying to find articles in the news about health news to talk about. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is healthier coffee creamer. And there are coffee creamer health risks. Who knew? So sweetened coffee is a must for some, but it could have some health risks. Some coffee creamers have come under scrutiny for containing chemicals like hydrogenated soybean oil. Who wants that? Cottonseed oil, carrageenan, and other brominated vegetable oils. So vegetables get brominated because chlorine is a bleach. It causes oxidation to substances, and that's why you throw it into your wash. It'll make your wash whiter because it'll oxidize the any stains that you have. Well, bromine is in the same family. It's in the same column in the periodic table, and bromine also bleaches things. So your vegetable oils are going to tend to be an ugly dark color, so they brominate it to bleach it, and that's not really that good for you. So the oils can help extend the shelf life of the coffee creamers, but the European Union has banned some of the products because of their harmful properties. So the FDA considers carrageenan and generally recognized as safe, but experts have warned that the food additive can cause digestive health issues. And seed oils can cause inflammation, are chemically processed, and they can have their seeds stripped of their nutrients and add harmful ingredients. Also, your creamers, of course, can have added sugar. I'll have my patients come in and say, no, I don't add sugar to my coffee. Well, what are you adding to your coffee? And they're using a conventional sweetened creamer that's really sweet. And those make it taste like a treat. I will not lie to you. They make it taste really good. But they have these hydrogenated oils. They have omega-6 seed oils in it. And they have too much sugar in it. And I've said over and over again that if the first thing you're having in the morning is sugar plus fat, that's going to set you off to have no satiety signals. It increases your neuropeptide Y, which makes you want to eat and eat and eat. So starting off your day with increased neuropeptide Y is not a good thing. You might want to go instead for organic and grass-fed dairy-based creamers if you are not dairy intolerant. If you're not dairy intolerant, that's a good way to go because you're going to get omega-3 fatty acids. The only thing with dairy is dairy, no matter what dairy you consume, there is going to be some level of hormone in it because it is filtered cow's blood. There's just no way around that. But it's going to have less and be healthier if it's from grass-fed and finished cattle. Well, finished doesn't apply if it's a dairy cow because you're not finishing them, you are just milking them. So that is going to be better for you as long as you're not dairy intolerant. Some people are dairy intolerant or are vegetarian because, you know, they're vegan because they choose not to consume animal products. So you can get plant and nut-based creamers. And plant and nut-based creamers can have additives in them to mimic the consistency of other creamers. Mind you, there are creamers that don't have, there are creamers and nut milks that have no additives in them, and you can find those. And if that's a concern to you, then it's a good idea to look at those. So we don't entirely know the health effects of gums like carrageenan, soy lecithin, guar gum. They can give you stomach upset. Dairy-based creamers that are flavored, of course, can have sugar and artificial ingredients. And consumers should take a look of how much saturated fat is in the creamer and milk products. If you believe in the whole thing about saturated fat and cardiovascular problems, I don't think the saturated fat is as much of the problem as the mixture of fat and sugar. That's a problem. You don't want to have more than a couple of grams of sugar per serving. So if you're having one or two cups of coffee a day, you're getting in a lot of sugar and a lot of saturated fat together. If you use a teaspoon of a creamer that has 4 grams of sugar and you're having 4 cups of coffee a day, now you're up to how much sugar you should have. So here are the alternatives. One, you can make your own nut milk. It's not that hard to do. It's really easy making it at home. It's all you have to do is you soak almonds or cashews in water, and then you throw it in a blender and you've got nut milk, and it can be really delicious. And that's all that's in it is almonds and water, or cashews and water. And they're really easy to do. And cashews have more saturated fat in them, so it will taste really creamy. Almond's not going to be as creamy. And I think you could, the other thing you could do is if you don't like how creamy the almond milk is, you can throw in some virgin coconut oil. So nut butters should only contain nuts and salt. We should look in our alternatives too. You can sweeten with cinnamon. How many times have you heard me say that? Mm-hmm. When you throw cinnamon in, it makes your coffee taste sweeter. It also makes it taste really good. It's good for your blood sugar. You can have as much as you want, and you may not need to add as much sweetener, if any at all, if you throw in cinnamon. And you can put cinnamon in to your content. It has polyphenols that combat oxidative stress. I like to put cinnamon in my coffee when I drink coffee, and I try to put cinnamon in my protein shake every day. So I go through containers of cinnamon, and I've said before, we don't put the cinnamon doesn't go in the spice drawer. The cinnamon goes next to the salt and pepper, so you can use it on anything that it tastes good on. Do you throw cinnamon in your oatmeal?
I don't.
You should throw cinnamon in your oatmeal, and you should also be dumping it into your protein shake.
Okay.
So good for you.
All so right. good. How much do you dump into a protein shake?
I would put into taste, but I sit there with the shaker and I make
So we're not talking like half a teaspoon.
I'm not going in there with a spoon. I'm shaking it in until there's a nice brown skim on top of the shake. Because I'm not going to be bothered with taking the spoon out unless I'm making a recipe. So when I'm making a recipe, then I open it up and take a spoon out, like when I made the chia pudding. So use grass-fed half and half with cinnamon and hazelnut extract and froth it, and then you have a nice creamer. So anything, you can froth anything. You can froth oat milk, you can froth cashew milk, and it will give it a creamier texture. All you're doing when you're frothing is you're introducing air into it, and it aerates it, and it makes it creamy. So you can do that. And then if you aerate, a good nut milk that has nothing in it but water and nuts, and then you throw in a flavor extract, like get an organic flavor extract, hazelnut, vanilla, cinnamon, chocolate mint, whatever you want, and you get a frother. You can buy little frothers that are rechargeable, and then you can make a froth and put it on top. I bought lavender syrup, and so I'm going to make what's really tasty is a matcha latte with lavender froth on top of it. So after the holiday, I'm going to do that. Probably not going to do that. Well, I could do matcha chi. I could do that as long as I used, because I usually use it with oat milk, but I don't have to do that. I can do it with coconut or almond milk. So maybe I'll do that. So I usually get Ceylon cinnamon, but Saigon cinnamon is actually the sweetest variety. So maybe next time I get a cinnamon, I'll grab the Saigon instead of the Ceylon and we'll compare. And then vanilla extract is great. You just do a squirt in your coffee and it's delicious. Vanilla with the cinnamon is terrific. And make sure it's real vanilla, pure organic vanilla. It's just vanilla beans and alcohol. And you don't want imitation versions with caramel color and artificial flavorings. Just get real vanilla. It's really good. I keep some around. I keep some in the, I use it a lot. And that is something I like to put in my coffee. So you can also get canned coconut milk instead of coconut creamer. So the actual thick coconut milk so we're talking culinary coconut milk as opposed to everyday drinking coconut milk. And so you can use that. I mean, you might get into a calorie situation with that, but canned coconut milk is really delicious if you like the taste of coconut. And coconut has MCT oil in it, which is really good for you. It's a good source of energy, and it can be helpful for fat loss. And then if you mix the coconut milk with a little vanilla and a tiny bit of plant-based sweetener, off you go. So if you're going to do, you still need a little sweet, and the cinnamon isn't enough for you, then consider stevia and monk fruit. And those are my two favorite non-caloric sweeteners to use because they actually have some health benefits. Raw cacao. Talked about that with the chia pudding. So raw cacao. So you want it non-alkalized, non-dutched, powdered, and you can blend the cacao powder with coconut oil and a pinch of sea salt, and you can throw that into your coffee as well. And you can make a froth on top, or you can froth it in altogether and make yourself a nice latte. That's another way to go. Cacao has fiber, iron, and magnesium. It's a great superfood and has a rich, bitter chocolate taste. And you know how they like to Dutch chocolate so that it takes the bitter notes out, right? When I put the raw cacao powder that was not Dutched into the chia pudding, the sweetener was maple syrup. There was a bunch of cinnamon and vanilla in it. There was no issue with how bitter it was. It tasted perfectly like chocolate and sweet, and it was very good. So coconut oil has healthy fat and it has those MCT oils. It's a good idea to look at creamers that are more natural and have good healthy fats in it. Yeah, so that was about the healthy coffee or coffee creamers. So let's finish off with the energy reduced Mediterranean diet and bone density. So this is interesting. The lower calorie Mediterranean diet and exercise limit bone loss even during weight loss. Because you know that if you lower your calories too much, you can lose bone density because your body's going to be in breakdown mode and it's going to start breaking down stuff, including your bone. Good times. So they found that older women who stayed on a reduced calorie Mediterranean diet, walked and did resistance training for 3 years, improved their bone density. So that's very exciting, especially in their lower backs. So more increase in the spine than in the femurs, which is where they measure. So a reduced energy Mediterranean diet involves participants consuming a modified version of the Mediterranean diet with approximately 30% fewer calories than the usual intake. Women in the study who were ages 55 to 75, I'm smack in the middle there, were also able to prevent bone deterioration that typically occurs during weight loss, according to research published. So if you're losing weight, if you're trying to lose weight, it's a really good idea to do resistance training. If you have a bone density issue, if you want to prevent bone loss, it's a really good idea to do resistance training. So what's resistance training, you say? That's any exercise where you're resisting against something. So it doesn't have to be with weights, but it can be. Any training where you use weights, whether they're hand weights or weight machines or bands or bars, that's weight training. Resistance training is, weight training is a subset of resistance training. And resistance training can include body weight training. So when you do Pilates, or when you do moderate and above yoga, moderate and more intense than that yoga, I would say that yin and restorative yoga, sometimes you're in a yin pose and there is some resistance there. So if I'm in gecko, which is a really lovely pose, it's not easy to do. So you're on gecko, is you're in a lunge with your knee down on one side. You can have your foot on the other side. You're in the lunge with the leg raised on the other side. And then you can, if you wish, turn your foot so it's on the outer blade of the foot. And then you can stay up on your hands or you can come down onto your elbows. So that's called a yin pose because you're holding the pose for a long time, for 2 or 3 minutes. But you're also having to hold yourself up with your arms or your forearms. So there is some resistance there. But most yin and restorative poses don't require you to use muscle strength. And you're encouraged to not use muscle strength because you want to soften and relax into the poses. So I would say if it's called gentle yoga, as long as you're doing vinyasas, as long as you're doing flows and you're doing some standing poses and some poses where you hold your body weight up. So gentle, moderate, in some kind of intense yoga, Bikram yoga, Ashtanga yoga, yoga where you're doing more intense poses. That's body weight training. That's resistance training, and that counts. So does Pilates. So does Tai Chi. Because Tai Chi, if you're doing Tai Chi the right way, you're kind of in and out of lunges all the time. So you're really doing a great job where they measure you, which is the lumbar spine and the hips. So Tai Chi counts as resistance training and counts as something that can help you with your bone density. So when you lose weight through diet alone, you can lose tissue everywhere. Bones, collagen, fat. It's not good to do it. If you're going to actively try to lose weight, it's a good idea to get exercise too. So remember that fat loss is 70% in the kitchen. It's 70% what you eat, but it is 30% exercise too. And you will do better. And there are lots of reasons to exercise that are not necessarily fat loss. However, it's easier to lose fat if you do also exercise. And the exercise that is best for fat loss is resistance training. You want to make sure, although cardio will help too, because you will burn fat doing cardio, but it's a good idea not to do extremely long cardio, and it's a good idea to do a mix of cardio and resistance training. Cardio training is good for your cardiovascular system. So me going on a bike is very good for my cardiovascular health, but it's better for me to do shorter rides with hill climbing and sprints in them than it is for me to do long, long rides where I'm not particularly exerting myself. So the study shows that combining a well-balanced, lower-calorie Mediterranean diet with physical activity can prevent bone loss in older women, even while you're losing weight. The results of the study are not surprising. When you practice the lifestyle that human beings were almost meant to live, which is moving a lot and eating predominantly simple plant-based foods, all sorts of systems get better, including bone density. So why Mediterranean? A randomized clinical trial on lifestyle interventions conducted in 23 medical centers in Spain included over 900 older adults with metabolic syndrome who were overweight or had obesity. Half were randomized into eating Mediterranean with no restriction on calorie and no requirement to exercise, and the other half encouraged to walk for a minute of 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week, and also do strength, flexibility, and balance 3 days a week. Their diet was cut to about 30% fewer calories than they typically consumed, and only from a Mediterranean eating plan, women in the group saw significantly stronger bones at 1 year and 3 years into the study. While previous results from the PredMed Plus trial highlighted benefits for maintaining lean mass and losing weight, this is the first publication to demonstrate that these lifestyle changes can help preserve bone density, especially in older women. The award-winning Mediterranean diet features simple plant-based cooking with much of each meal focused on vegetables and fruit, whole grains, beans, and seeds with a few nuts and heavy emphasis on extra virgin olive oil. Fats other than olive oil, such as butter, are consumed rarely, if at all, and sugar and refined foods are avoided. Red meat is used sparingly, often only to flavor a dish. Eating healthy, oily fish, which are packed with omega-3 fatty acids, is encouraged, while eggs, dairy, and poultry are eaten in much smaller portions than in the traditional Western diet. Eating the Mediterranean way has been linked to reductions in the risk for breast cancer, dementia, depression, diabetes, high cholesterol, and memory loss. Adherence to the diet can also lead to healthier heart, weight loss, and longer life. Mediterranean diet is rich in nutrients and promotes bone health. Nuts and dairy products provide calcium, magnesium, and vitamin D. Healthy fats like those in olive oil have been shown to reduce inflammation. Antioxidants such as vitamin C from fruits and vegetables can help support bone cells, while other vitamins like K found in vegetables such as spinach play a role in bone formation. Together, the nutrients can lower the risk of bone loss and support bone maintenance as long as we age. So look into a reduced calorie Mediterranean diet. It's going to help you lose weight if you want to lose weight, and it will also help you if you're concerned about your bone density. It's going to help you to preserve and also increase your bone density. And that's what we got for this week. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, Buzzsprout, and YouTube. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.